today I'm just going to, I just got some things to run by you. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. Just some things to run by you as it relates to the series Colorblind. And everybody say Colorblind. I do have some handouts for your consideration. And when you just look at this graphic on the screen and just look at it, and when you say colorblind, just think about that. What comes to mind? Colorblind. How do you comprehend colorblind? How do you perceive the word colorblind? It's like two words mixed together, colorblind. I'm going to ask you this question if you want to fill in on your worksheet. I won't stop for every blank, but what color is your heart? That is blank on your sheet. What color is your heart? We know this, but if you want to turn to your paper Bible, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life." Everybody say whoever. Whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Ephesians 2, if you want to turn there real quick, or if you want to just Google there or get your phone out and just meet me there. You know how you do it these days. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 says, "For it is by grace," let's read this together. All right, ready, set, go. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves." Everybody say, not from yourselves. "It is the gift of God," we're reading together, "not by works, so that no one can boast." Amen. We are saved by grace. I don't know what kids in, but it was a song that came out years ago. "I am saved by grace." What's the words? "Mercy found me, grace abounding." Something like that. But everybody say, we're saved by grace. We're not saved by works. There are more people that are more moral than Alpheus. There are more people in the earth that's more moral than you, but that's not why they are saved. We're saved by grace. That's why when you call me on a Tuesday night, they say, "How you doing?" I may say, "I'm better than I deserve." Amen? Because I know what I deserve. Anybody in here that's ever committed wrongdoing in the eyes of God? You have broken many of God's laws. Raise your hand. What does that deserve? It deserves punishment. Amen. But when God graces us out, when we ask for forgiveness and you feel God's forgiveness and you feel his grace, we are better than what we deserve. Amen. And so it's not by our class that we are saved, not by our bank account. Amen. He's like, "Yep, just go ahead and lock me up if it's by my bank account." Not by our social status or our views on social media, not by our likes, not by our works or degrees, not by our race. Amen. We are saved by grace. It is something that God gives us. It's a gift. We got to be careful these days, though, as Christians, to not let Christianity be the new racism. I'm coming out the gate swinging a little bit. God chose a Jewish bloodline to enter the world. All right? He chose that particular race to enter the world and to give us Jesus, to give us Yeshua, to save the world. We who are saved should feel blessed to be adopted into the family of Christ. Even though God chose a Jewish bloodline to enter the world and save humanity, amen? Y'all know the story, but when you are saved, you are adopted into the family of Christ, amen? We should feel blessed, we should feel privileged, and we are chosen, we are predestined to be a part of God's family. Amen. Do y'all believe that? Ephesians, if you want to turn there real quick, Ephesians 1, 5 says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, "He predestined us to adoption." Everybody say adoption. We are adopted as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Everybody say, God is kind. If you've, listen, if you know God has chosen you, he has been kind to you. He's kind to us because we woke up this morning. Amen. But this whole adoption deal, when you are saved, you are instantly a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. You may not be Jewish. Amen. But you are a part of the kingdom of God. You are, Christ has chosen you because God is kind. He is so kind. Amen. There's a scripture that says, a passage that says, I'm trying to remember, because thy loving kindness is better than life. His loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall do what? Praise thee. Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. It's all about life. We are natural. We are spiritual beings living in a natural world. All right. Does that make sense? You received a spirit of adoption, which is immaterial, as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. All right. Just want to just get that out the way and run that by you guys real quick. I won't be long. I'm praying that I'm not long today, but I'm going to take my time a little bit. The question, the subject matter at hand for this month, some great teaching this month. I peeped in while I was at home. And man, it was some great teaching. Is God colorblind? Is God colorblind? How would you answer that as a human? But we're trying to answer that for God. That's an interesting task. Amen. We're trying to answer for God. Is God the creator colorblind? What does that even mean? Everybody say, what is color? Anyway, I want to run these working definitions of these terms by you guys, because from my research and from down through the years, it seems like a lot of these definitions are overlap. The lines are blurred a little bit. Everybody say race. Race, a specific physical feature like skin color, which is externally imposed. Ethnicity. Everybody say ethnicity. A group or identity. Group identity. Excuse me. Kinship. Shared history. Everybody say we got something in common. Culture. Heritage. Something possessed as a result of one's natural situation or birth. Everybody say tribe. Blood. Family. Kin. Y'all see that? Some of these definitions are overlapping. Everybody say nation. Share the same history, traditions, or language. Everybody say citizen. Citizenship. So when I hear nation, I think of a group of people that should at least, number one, if you want to say it, everybody say have a common goal. Number two, have a shared interest. Number three, united mission. Number four, common beliefs. Everybody say common beliefs. Number five, everybody say a similar sound. Look at somebody say and say, do we sound the same? Now, I'm a twin. I have two other brothers that are twins. I may have told this story here, but we were ordering. Three of us were ordering at the airport at Chick-fil-A. And it was like the ladies behind the counter was looking at us. You know, they was saying, can I take your order? At the same time, we all placed our order, and they all looked like, am I taking? We all sound the same. So it was like we were confusing them because we all sounded the same. Now, obviously, we're blood, we're kin, but we actually sound the same these days. Lex say, my wife, if you don't know, she say, you sound like your brother. A similar sound. This describes us in the kingdom. Everybody say, this describes us. Us talkative and stuff. So thank y'all for just being obedient. Kingdom citizens, we should have a similar sound. Amen. It almost sounds like 1 Peter 2 and 9, if you want to turn there real quick. But you are a chosen generation, a chosen race. Some translation says race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Similar sound, shared interest, united mission. Do they look the same and sound the same? Have common beliefs? What makes a nation a nation? Amen. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 and 9. All right, I want to just skate through this real quick, but it is interesting that in the 1700s, European scientists classified anybody from Africa as black. And if you were from Asia, you were considered the color yellow. And then America, you were considered red. And then, of course, in Europe, Europeans, you were considered the color white. Just a little known fact. But it's interesting, if you research, if you dig a little bit, not a whole lot, you can just dig a little bit, you will realize that every skin tone is in Africa. You can find every skin tone in Africa. It's interesting to see. It's amusing, not for degrading amusing, but it's a learning. It's how we can learn about where many of us come from. Amen. Every skin tone. But when I realized that this early classification that European scientists started to dig into is really setting a tone. No pun intended. It is setting the tone for classism. The question is, who gave you the authority to set this tone? But it is setting the tone. It's something that is still prevalent today. Amen. It's still prevalent today, but it's setting the tone for classism. Y'all say this with me. Power and differences are ingredients for classism. Power meets differences are ingredients for classism and racism and eugenics or racial hygiene attempts. Y'all know the whole history. Check one, the whole history behind what Hitler was trying to do. He was trying to basically say, you belong, you don't belong. You belong, you don't belong. All right? And so classism, I want to define that real quick. Prejudice against or in favor of people belonging to a particular social class. And it's basically opinions and assumptions. Racism, prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against. It seems like these two definitions has this one word which is kind of strong. Everybody say against. All right. It's one thing to recognize differences and one thing to look at you and say, okay, you're different than I am. But this word against is a little bit different. It's a little bit, it has a stronger connotation. Against a person or people on the basis of their membership in a particular race or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority or marginalized. Well, who is describing you as the minority? Who is calling you marginalized? Who has the authority to say you are less than? Does that make sense? That's just a question that I have. Got a question, more questions for you guys. How do you respond when you see someone in Walmart or gas station speaking a different language than you or dressed differently than you? Man, when I went to a country, Aruba, and man, they were speaking Dutch and speaking XYZ, we instantly say XYZ or think XYZ about a certain person based on how they look, based on how they sound. But I want to flip it this morning a little bit or integrate some more questions. How do we treat the unsaved? because they obviously look different in the spirit and they sound different as well. They may let a few fly a little bit. Amen. And if we be honest, a few of us saved folks are still need help with that. Amen. Amen. Y'all know about grace. Don't abuse it. I heard somebody say, I will give you a good Holy Ghost cussing in a minute. What does that mean? A Holy Ghost cussing? You must be speaking in tongues. It's something that I can't understand. Amen. What we talking about in this good old world? Are we ignoring the Gentiles? That's a question I have for us today. Have we chosen to witness to a certain group? Since we're talking about classification, amen? I do want to keep us on subject, but I just want to pose those questions. But here in America, it is not foreign to see a Korean in America. So how does the U.S. treat Koreans? This kind of shows us how you can be from one nation or originate from one nation, or you have heritage that is deeply rooted in one nation, but you live in another nation. So it's almost like you have Korean Americans. You have Algerians in France. I am going somewhere with this. Hopefully y'all can see what I see. Amen. I've been known to be ADD, anointed, dangerous, and disciplined. You can have Polish people in Brazil. Okay? But how does Brazil treat the Polish? So it's almost like somebody is in America or in Australia, but they're from another place. And it almost could feel like they are out of place. Does that make sense? You know, when you go to another country, you may feel out of place. Amen. Like I did a few weeks ago. Or you may go to Africa, guys, and feel out of place. If that makes sense. And so it almost sounds like as humans, this is the connection that I'm seeing with all of this colorblind talk. This is kind of what God is speaking to me. And I am seeing it's almost like as humans, I am out of place in this world. Does anybody else feel out of place in this world more and more as you decide to live a godly life, a Christian life, a life where you try to embrace the things of God? I mean, you try to do right, amen? God wants us to be righteous, and the more and more we do that and align ourselves with the things of God, I feel out of place. Does anybody else? Am I just making this up? It's like, man, I am different in this good old United States of America or in this world if you travel. Psalm 119 may clarify it up for you. Psalm 119:19 says, I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. This is David talking, I believe. 1 Chronicles 29:15 says, we are only foreigners living here on earth for a while, just as our ancestors were, and we will soon be gone like a shadow that suddenly disappears. That's what life seems like more and more these days. Hevel. Everybody say hevel. That word is translated poof. Here one moment, gone the next. And when we look around in the earth, in our community, in this region, people that are here one moment are not here anymore. But where are they going? Are they going home? Those that die in Christ are going home. Amen? And guess what? We're going home one day. Y'all should clap your hands on that one. That's why I said it like that. We're going home one day, not right now, but we're going home one day. But just want to encourage you guys, you will continue to feel out of place. You will continue to feel like an Algerian in Australia or a Polish person in the United States, a kingdom citizen in this world. Amen? It's going to feel different. Be encouraged. Don't lose hope. The world would do what the world does. And the world is designed to be what? Worldly. Amen. And so I want to come out of that a little bit in this anointed dangers and discipline message. Is God colorblind? And what does that mean? Because to us, we humans, we're actually trying to ask a question, answer a question for God. So that's why Alpheus is asking a lot of questions, because before I answer or attempt to answer for God, we got to work through this. Amen. So I'm just running some things by you guys this morning. What is their race? This is very interesting. I'm a twin, but I couldn't imagine if I was born with this identity. I'm black and my brother is white. There are actually, how many have never heard of black and white twins? Raise your hand. You said, I've never seen, how many have never seen black and white twins with your own eyes, live and in person? Me either. These are some examples. This gentleman he's a black boy and has a white sister. What is their race? Some more pictures here. You have black and white brothers. Black and white blood twin brothers. I have a question. I wonder how is one twin treated. I wonder what one parent is telling one twin, what conversation the mother and the father is having with this twin that is white. I wonder what the mother and father is having, the conversation he's having or she's having with this twin that is black. And why do the parents have to have separate conversations for twins about certain things? I wonder, does the parent have to say to one twin, Psalm 139 or 149, where it says, I am fearfully, they may say to this twin, Taquisha, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But don't necessarily have to say that to another twin. What spirit is in the earth is causing this separation, classism, and racism, and divide, and favoritism? What spirit of that? That's not the spirit of God, amen? That's why Romans 2 and 11 said, God does not show favoritism. Romans 2 and 11, God does not show favoritism. He knew us before we knew us. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. He knew us before our mom and dad knew that we were be declared a male and have this reveal party and go, and you see the blue, whatever. Amen? But this world, what this world is coming to, those reveal parties are going to get more interesting and interesting because they don't want to do blue for male anymore or pink for boys anymore. Make sense? But that's what the world does. Amen? The world acts worldly. 2 Corinthians 10, 12 says, so I just asked the question, what spirit is trying to change the narrative? All right, this is not God's narrative. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10, 12 says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are what? They are not wise. 1 Samuel 16, 7 says, man looks at the outward appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance. That's not I'm not condemning man for doing that. Obviously, we are humans, and humans are going to act in flesh. Amen? So when you see somebody, you're going to have an initial response. Amen? But look how God sees man. God looks at the what? The heart. What color is a heart? That's why I started this teaching with What color is your heart? And so many of us have to learn things and unlearn things. Which one of these skeletons, which one is black? One skeleton is black and one skeleton is not black. I stand corrected with my own notes. Neither skeletons are black. Neither one. I had to correct my own self. Because everybody say default setting. We have default settings, all right? Y'all saw it played in front of your very eyes. Matthew 22, I know I'm throwing a lot of passages at you guys this morning, so I think when you write them down and see the order and go back and look at them, at these passages, God will speak to you like Alpheus can't speak to you and reveal things to you. Y'all good this morning? I'm almost finished. Not yet, but I'm almost. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Y'all finish it. With the beautiful voice. Now, friend, I know you can sing the end of that. Love your. See what I'm saying? Y'all clap your hands. Get a little singing this morning. I take tips. Macaroni and cheese made with veggie cheese. I'm trying to keep on a good path. Amen. But I take tips. John 4:24 says, I'm about to angle us into a position that I think we should take. Amen. Because I get it and I get it. And I get history. Amen. And wrong is wrong. For the record, racism is wrong. Amen. No matter where it comes from. Amen. It's a heart issue anyway, which has already been stated 2 or 3 weeks ago. Racism is a heart issue. Amen. Amen. But we're asking, is God colorblind? So let's see what the word says here. John 4:24 says, read this with me real loud and proud. Ready, set, read. God is spirit. So I wonder how God operates. I wonder how God walks. First of all, we're saying God walks because that's really the only way we can describe God when we're trying to describe God doing something and moving about the earth. But God has no need to walk. Amen. What? I need to walk. He's everywhere. I'm just want to point us in a direction. God is spirit, and his worshipers, which are who? Us in flesh, must worship in the spirit and in truth. Is God colorblind? I think, guys, we should check NA. Just only a consideration. It doesn't apply. N-A, and this is why I am suggesting this. I think you see it on your referring to God by human characteristics is anthropomorphic. If you want to write that down, anthropomorphic, I think it's on the screen here. When we refer to God by human characteristics, we refer to an immaterial, spaceless, timeless, powerful, all-knowing being with human characteristics, which is God, that is that we're calling God, he's an anthropomorphic God. We are saying God moves like us. Amen? When we were not created, God was not created in our image. We were created in God's image. Everybody say God's image 3 times. God's image. God's image, God's image. So a lot of times, this is not a condemnation. It's just that we can't help it. We are human. So when we ask the question, is God colorblind? That's an anthropomorphic question. Because we're saying God sees how we see. When it's even hard to explain what I'm trying to explain about an immaterial, spaceless, timeless God. We're just doing the best we can, amen, to try to explain God and look for the clues through his word and follow the leading of his what? His spirit, which is immaterial, amen? Spirit has no color, amen? Is God colorblind is an anthropomorphic question. Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. So let's be clear. We are doing the best we can to try to understand God. Amen. God is infinite. Amen. Yes, God has issues with racism because that's not the spirit of God. Amen. God has an issue with us not loving our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. God has issues with us, with Alpheus being a long-term Christian. I've been a Christian, I feel like, my whole life. Or I knew I had a God conscience, and I knew that Yeshua, I knew I needed Jesus in my heart. Amen? That doesn't make me special. Amen? That doesn't make me better than. God has an issue with us walking around, even as Christians, saying certain things or doing certain things in a certain spirit. Amen. We must take a stance. Amen. But we're not better than. Amen. Yes, homosexuality is wrong. Amen. But I'm not better than. Amen. Racism is wrong. Amen. You can declare these things. Amen. But you're not better than. Amen. Thank you, God. Think I got a witness. So God is infinite. God doesn't have the issue. We do. Is God colorblind? We don't have. God is not on trial here. Amen. Now you're saying, Sarah, why are you saying it like this? You came up with the series. God doesn't have the issue. We do. And so when we're trying to explain God in these anthropomorphic terms, like the face of God, that's just the best we can do. Amen. But perhaps God's face is not like our face. It's not like our face. His questions. Now, how many have read in scripture where God asked the question? That's an anthropomorphic term. Why does God need to ask a question? Because he already knows the answer. So why is he even asking a question? The hand of God, we need our hands, but God, listen, God doesn't, why does God need to stretch forth his hand to do anything? He can just will it and it happens, amen? These are anthropomorphic terms that we are putting on God, amen? The eyes of God, woo, God does not see how we see. He can't because God is not better than us. He is other than us. Like he's other than us. Amen. We are trying to align ourselves with the things of God. And when we do, we become more and more righteous. It's a never ending journey to be righteous. Amen. Amen. We would never be perfect, but we're striving for perfection. Amen. And thank God we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Isaiah 55:9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth. I promise Lex, my wife, that one day we will show as the heavens are higher than the earth. Read this with me. As the heavens are higher than the earth. Scientifically, we got to know what that means. I don't think we understand what that means. As the heavens are higher than the earth. When we show you this, and you see this with your very own eyes, the respect, even more you're going to have for God, it's going to go through the roof. I mean, I get it. God is other than he is. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. But when we see the attempt to try to explain this, the human attempt, man, it's going to blow your mind. I mean, you won't need no shout music. You probably would start speaking in tongues, go in worship, and just see. You would just be in awe of God. I'm even more careful now to just say awesome, because I think that only deserves, that word is only deserved, it's only reserved for God. I'll type in the email, awesome, guys, or that's awesome. No, that ain't awesome. God's, listen, as the heavens are higher than the earth, now that's awesome. So are my ways. Whose ways? God's ways. Now that's awesome. When you see it in context, when you can go millions and millions and millions of miles into nowhere and then discover another galaxy, and then go millions and millions of millions of miles into nowhere and discover another galaxy. And they haven't even scratched the surface. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways. Do y'all know the distance it is between us and God? I can't even imagine the distance, but yet he's so close. He's so far away, but he's so close. So, check 1, 2. When the Bible talks about God hiding himself, where is God hiding? Did he go in the back? Did he go under the chair? God doesn't have to hide. That's an anthropomorphic term that we're putting on. Man, God just seems to be like, I can't hear his voice. God is always speaking. We have the issue, amen? We have to be aligned with the frequency of God, amen? We got some work to do, amen? Because, man, sometimes I get off track and I think I'm on and I'm off. It's like, man, but God has not changed. Uncle Gary sung about it all morning, about God being the same God. Everybody say same God. Same God, same God, same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Same God. Everybody say same God. That same God wish no man perish. That has not changed. Black, white, Jew, Gentile, gay, straight, transgender. God is not saying, I won't, listen. He's not sitting there saying, listen, I don't like you, and I want you to go here. I want you. God don't want us to suffer. That's kind of like our attitude. Amen? That's our attitude. Amen? And so Galatians 3 says, Galatians 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Just to clear up, man, I wouldn't, am I part of the Abraham lineage? I'm a little John. I don't know if I'm kin to Abraham. I don't know if I'm kin. Listen, to be honest, we all came from Adam and Eve. Y'all deal with that and then come back to me and report what you come up with. God is awesome. Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's chill out. We are heirs according to the promise. Mark 8:34. I'm going to start to close this, you guys. Mark 8:34. And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone, everybody say anyone. Jesus didn't know who, well, he knew. Well, see, there we go. Anthropomorphic. Limitations on the King of Kings. We don't know who was in the crowd. Amen. With his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and do what? Follow me. Guys, if you don't mind standing and just kind of thinking about what we've shared today, this self-denial thing is really hard. It's really hard. If you're black, you're a musician, you like golf, you like Clemson, that's kind of the individuals, and you like music, I kind of gravitate towards those people. Amen. It takes a lot of work for me to maybe fellowship with maybe a white female that likes Hallmark and sewing. I'm trying to make a serious point, a light point, a serious point over a light example. In other words, but if God has called me to minister to somebody that doesn't look like me, man, I have to really deny myself to get up enough courage and energy. I said, God, they make more money than me. They are a wealthy Hispanic, Mexican, in all respect. Man, God, I don't know a little bit of English. God says, go there and I'll tell you what to say. I'll give you what to say. God, but you know, they saying that Mexicans are all, they're dangerous and they will hurt you. You know what we hear from media, amen. But they say with this group is like this. They say all people that are above the age of XYZ is this, and then they say that all the people that are below the age of this is this. And so really, self-denial will advance the kingdom. Say that with me. Self-denial will increase and advance the kingdom. Self-denial as it relates to energy, to finance, to unclassifying people and seeing them in the spirit. Amen. I mean, not ignoring the smoke signals because you think it's a woman and you want to be respectful. But God may call you as a man to go minister to a female respectfully. Amen. God may call you as a grandparent to minister to the next generation. Amen. But you definitely have to deny yourself. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Self-denial. Some of us are prejudiced against people of our own race, or we classify individuals because of certain, you know, man, they got a million likes, and then all of a sudden we don't do XYZ, or they're living like this, or they talk like this. I naturally talk slow. Amen. So people that naturally talk slow are perceived a certain way. Amen. Normally less educated, right? I'm from Fair Forest, South Carolina, and I'm proud about it. I mean, I'm just throwing all of this running this by us today so we can really. It seems like this is aligning with one of the messages now at this very moment in time where it was all about evangelism. I can't remember who taught that a few weeks ago. It's about evangelism now, about us going out into the community and us not having a respective person. Everybody deserves Christ, the opportunity to accept Christ. Do y'all agree with that? Clap your hands. So what color is your heart? What color is your heart?